Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm your host extraordinaire, the one and only Ezra Washington. It's Monday, October 18th, y'all. Really tonight what I'm trying to do, because we've had so many tech issues, is that we really, you know, running a test. Because I got a big show tomorrow. I got a big show. He's not slacking on tonight. Tonight is going to be really, really special as well, okay? So just want to get these kinks out the way. You know, when you're doing something new, should I say starting over after a while, you know, a layoff of some years. It takes a while to get back into the swing of things. One of my issues was that a favorite show of mine was the Arsenio Hall show. You know, I remember when he took over for John Rivers and he built that mega show that black folk loved, and we made sure we watched it. And if we wasn't at home to watch it, we made sure that we had it on our VCR, and I see you just hang on, I'm gonna bring in. We loved it. We videoed it, you know, back then we had the VCR, and every night we wanted to see Arsenio. And he had the greatest show, even though they said, oh, it ain't all there. He don't have the ratings Leno got, he don't have the ratings Letterman got, but that's all right. We as black folk make sure we tune in and support it. He went out for over a decade, you know, literally almost 20 years. And he brought the show back. When he brought the show back, there was something missing. Something missing. So we wanted to touch on that, you know, me and my group, say, hey, look, I'm back. We know where we were when I was here. You can go back and check the archives. I'm back. So we want to make sure everything's good. Tonight, we're talking about surviving the hand. Next week, we're going to have some cancer survivors come in and talk to us about surviving. Tonight, you know, we're going to talk about some other surviving. You know, just surviving the hands life gives you. I've been dealt so many hands in the last 2.5 years. It's retarded. I mean, really, not even the last 2.5. They've been the most severe, but the last 7 or 8 years. And, you know, you have to figure out a way to deal with that hand. You know, just like when you got a bad hand of spades, you got to play that hand out. You can't just fold. That ain't fun. And this ain't fun either, but you got to make it through. But I want to bring in someone that's got an event that's coming up this weekend, because we're talking about survival. And we ended up connecting again last night, and it hit me. I'm like, look, I really would like to get her in. She got a story for y'all. So at this time, I want to bring in Adair. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Ezra?
Man, I'm going and going and blowing and everything, but I had to, you know, make sure I get back to the foundation. pick
that's
up
right. That's
where I left out, pick up the pieces, as AWD used to sing, you know, and get some things going. Right now, let's say we're adding out the kinks to the show. I'm actually doing two different podcasts. So mine, and I got Three Fools and a Mic on Spotify. Y'all can go download that. That's just where we just get wild with it. This one, we do some of everything, you know. Monday nights, we pretty much get informative and talk about issues that, you know, we need to look at as people and focus on. Tuesday nights, I feature musicians from all over. Tomorrow, I'm going to have the great Ronnie Coleman Jr. on. And then Wednesday night,
wow,
you know, it's all comedy. I bring in comedians from all over. And I have my buddy Adam Bob on with me. We're going to have fun.
All right.
But, you know, you and I connected a couple of years ago when I went through a situation that I'm still dealing with. Can't really speak on it much at all.
That's right.
But
right.
We talked about it. I did your show. You know, I was kind of limited on how I can handle it, but you are actually
right.
still fighting the cause on so many different issues. That,
yeah.
And I want to let you talk. I'm going to let you break it down and tell them about the event you got coming up next weekend.
Okay. Hi, y'all. I'm so glad Ezra allowed me to be on this show today. I'm so glad for you coming back, Ezra. I'm looking forward to your tomorrow, your next days. And in spite of everything you've been going through, you know, I kind of know your story. I follow you and I understand that can't nothing keep Ezra Washington down. That's just who you are. And I'm so proud of you. To have that personal experience with you, to know you personally is a honor. And the reason why I'm here is because Ezra was on my show.
You got to stop on the compliments because I only have about $7. I can't pay you a lot.
Come on,
no. You know, all this buttering up. I got about $7.
No, it's different when you can have people on your show. As you know, you got to throw in that funny. But when you have people on your show, you know, as a host, it's something different about everybody because I know we like to talk, but I don't talk to everybody after my show. And you was one of those that God allowed me to have that conversation with past the time, that the hour that we had. So we know that the time is limited, but we got to experience some things and talk about some personal issues that, as you said, you can't speak on. But that's what's keeping my fight. I am a 21-year, this month, of domestic violence survivor. And I have a, as well as a minister. So I've been doing this walk for a mighty long time. And I feel like this year God finally said, you're actually certified to go forth. And so last year, we started Divine Destiny Ministry and Crisis Center had our first annual butterfly and balloon release. And we were releasing it to survivors. Well, I was able to give my husband a proclamation from the city of Houston for his daughter, who was her name was Marcita Darcy Karn, and she died from her abuser on August the 21st of 2004. So this was 2 years prior to him and I getting together. So God told me get my business back together, get things back in order. You know, I'm Dr. Purpose, so I talk about purpose, walking on purpose, for a purpose, with a purpose. And as I was on the radio show, somebody hit me up and told me about the abuser who killed my stepdaughter. And I didn't know the journey that God was going to take me on. So I'm going to show you this, Ezra, what God just showed me actually before getting on this call. We got the proclamation on October the 17th of last year, right? We got the call that the young lady that was missing from North Carolina, her abuser ended up killing her, which was the same abuser that killed my stepdaughter. And we found out that information on October the 16th, which so happens to be Marcita's one-year anniversary for her proclamation. So even though we didn't understand what was going on or understand the time span, God just gave me that clarity to say, It took a whole year, and his word does not return back to him void. And so it took a year to the date of her getting her proclamation that we ended up receiving the, you know, the unfortunate news about the other young lady passing away. But the thing about it is that we know now that both young girls, since he's back in jail, they both are now rich. And so that's the exciting part about it. And so on this weekend, on Saturday, we will be having our second annual butterfly and balloon release. And this time we are releasing these balloons for domestic violence and sex trafficking victims that have lost their lives to the hands of their abusers, as well as some survivors that have survived. And so we're just waiting to see that everybody, this will be virtual. It would also be in person. We've connected with Joseph Consulting Firm, and the address is 9894 Bensonette, Unit 220, Houston, Texas, 77036. And we will be having this beautiful butterfly and balloon release for the victims and the survivors. So I just wanted to come on and just let everybody know they are willing to participate, all of them that follow you. Follow us on Facebook as well, Divine Destiny Ministry and Crisis Center, Ladira Karn, Dr. Purpose Karn, as well as on Instagram. And just come out and enjoy. And we want to keep these names alive, and one of them is one that you deal with. And so we want to keep these names alive. And in my heart, I just want all sorts of any type of domestic violence, whether there are any genre of violence, to cease and to stop. We're in these last days, and we're seeing so much that's going on, and we have to take things back by force. And so I'm the voice of domestic violence, and I'm just coming forth and just telling everybody, you know, come out and enjoy this day with us and celebrate these people that have passed on.
And you know, what people, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, we end up dealing with the worst side of it.
Yes.
Death plays a role into it.
Mm-hmm.
But as individuals, and I challenge everybody to really take what I'm getting ready to say and apply it to life. A lot of times we see it, we know it, especially
mm-hmm.
when it's a close loved one. It's in us, and it's embedded in us that we know something is not right. And if it's, if you had that feeling, if you had that feeling, if you had that vibe, please reach out to that person that you feel mm-hmm. like something's going on. Reach out to them and, you know, talk to them. Just say, hey, something going on. I feel it, you know.
That's
you can
right.
talk to me. You can tell me. Because keeping secrets
right.
causes tragedy.
That's right.
Keeping secrets and keeping quiet causes tragedy. There are some people out there and that ain't my business. That's family business. I ain't in it. No. Get in it.
Get in it.
Because once that damage done, sitting around,
yeah.
I should have, I wish I could have, I this, I that, you know. I mean, we all are people of faith. And we believe, you know, hey, if it's in God's plan, it's just going to happen or whatever. But sometimes God wants you to step up to the plate.
Exactly.
He wants you
exactly.
to step up to the plate and put some work in.
That's right.
I had trouble sleeping at night because I always feel like that was something that I could have done.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe I couldn't. I've had people tell me all
the
time.
Maybe you couldn't have.
It ain't your fault. You didn't do
that's
nothing
right.
wrong. Hey, man, that was in the plane right. with them. Okay, yeah, it sounds all right. It sounds confident for a few seconds. But that lives within you all
that
the time.
That,
man, I heard this. I heard that, you know, I had a feeling about this. I didn't act on it. And,
but that's what gives you
I
your
mean,
voice, Ezra. That's what gives you your voice right there. that what could I've done in that situation that you wasn't able to do, that even though they don't live on, you do. Your voice is still activated. Even though their body is no longer here, you still have their spirit man. And sometimes they can't rest until their name is lifted up and people bring attention, draw attention to something that people don't want to talk about as much as domestic violence. And not just domestic violence. People just stop at domestic violence. There's so many different forms of violence. Even on today, I think yesterday, we lost 3 police officers. One live in my neighborhood, and everybody have blue, they're putting blue ribbons and blue lights on up here off of 249 in Tomball. So we're talking about people just drawing guns. Guns, now that it's a law, people just taking guns, and that's how they're fighting with it. So senseless death, that's what we're talking about, basically, senseless death, and somebody's not coming home to their family. Somebody has to put together a funeral plan for their child, or somebody's not seeing their child on the next day, or somebody's child is crying out for them. That's where the pain is, and so we don't have to let them die in vain. We can be that voice, and, you know, God creates, you know, he'll pull up, raise up a person. If one person don't want to be the voice, somebody else will be the voice. And that's one thing why I call myself the voice of domestic violence, because it is a silent treatment, a silent thing that we go through. And because of it, we don't want to talk about it because it's exposing the enemy for one thing. But on the other hand, and it's coming out of darkness, but it's also making a person feel I'm not worthy, or I'm a failure. Are people going to talk about me? We always see the negative stigmas of domestic violence or any type of violence. And that's why a lot of people don't come forth and say anything. But when you think about it, just where you're at right there, people that have lost someone say, what could I have done? What could I have done at that very moment? Maybe you wasn't able to do anything, but God gave you a second chance. You still have that opportunity that her name can still live on through what you're doing right now, the podcast, the butterfly balloon release, all the stuff that you do personally. And I know you can't talk about it, but I can. And that's what it hurts, because to me, I know that these names are screaming out. I can't sleep at night because they're screaming out, because they want a voice. They want a voice in so many women, you know, and we talked about the women and the men. But it's a lot of us women that get in trouble because of our mouth. I was one of those. You know, I have a mouth on me, and I know I do. But that's what also gave me
the courage. But at the end of the day, that does not mean that
equate
you are to be physically abused.
That's right.
Real.
That's right.
And I've been told that several times by people that say, you're just too doggone nice. You're too damn nice. No, maybe. And I think about all the stuff I done had to deal with over the last 3 years, and I'm like, maybe I do need to go to the courthouse and make sure my name ain't Job instead of Ezra. You know,
exactly.
It's been piling on. But I do know that patience and proper thought will win. The coach that screams and yells and acts a fool, he might have a few wins, but he's not as successful as that coach that's calm and carefully plans what he's going to do.
That's right.
I believe we got to have a Tom Brady attitude. You should know you're going to win regardless. So they can say whatever they want to say, but until that clock say double, triple, quadruple, zero, and that pistol go off, you don't know whether or not you're going to beat them. And that's the way I operate. Even with this battle I'm going through, I really believe, and I know it, I'm going to win this. I got to do it for her.
Of course.
And I'm going to win that. And
of course.
You can
You've
go
already
out
won.
And get... you can go out and get whoever you want to do whatever you want and whatever you pay them to do. Now, I can't speak on that. But at the end of the day, there's
the
a spirit that lives through everything and everybody.
That's right.
You'll get
the
yours.
Thing,
whether,
Ezra,
whether it's in that building with them, with those people.
That's right.
Or the inner you, you're going to give them a
right.
count.
Because you never know who God is going to use to pick up that baton and carry that word. That's me. That's my story right there. I wasn't there when my stepdaughter died. But look how I married her father, and I went through domestic violence, and that's actually what connected us when he told me he lost his daughter to domestic violence. So it was like, okay, wow, that was the connection right there. How did I know that I was going to have to be her voice? That was listening to God saying, go ahead and open up Divine Destiny Ministry. Go ahead. It was so many prophets kept coming to me, giving me the word of God and giving me confirmation. And look at us today. And now that I see it, I'm like, oh, my God. God knew that somebody else was going to die a year later to the date of her getting her proclamation. God knew that the same killer who killed her. And we're, you know, the family is not, the family is not happy when somebody is out living their life. And this person actually said he didn't have no remorse. And he sold his soul to the devil. So that'll make you angry just by itself. But look how the thing came back around. He did the same thing again. But this time we believe in God that he's going to pay for it. He's going to pay for it so these babies' names can be lifted and they can rest. They can be at peace. We can.
And also, we got to start doing. And we got to start holding these elected officials accountable.
Yes.
These judges, these prosecutors. You know, we got to start holding them accountable. Like this whole year, we've been hearing about murderers who have been out on bond for murderers.
Yep.
They've already aggravated assaults and murders already.
Yep.
And they go out and do it right again because they realize that, hey, the wait time for me to be accountable for this to be 5-6 years down the line. You know, I'm going away anyway, so I will kill some more folks. So,
and they're killing themselves.
We
got to
start holding these. And they're killing themselves.
They're killing themselves. You know? They're killing the whole family. They're like, they're taking everybody out. They're killing the police officers. It's like, who's in charge now?
Who are just trying to make a little extra money to take care of their family. You got a newborn baby. You just back from work after that, and you just trying to make an honest living to take care of your family. And somebody come out, snuff you out. You know, now this other one, he's having multiple surgeries. You know, we pray that he can, you know, recover. Go back to work or whatever. You know, all that stuff was engaged to get married.
Yep.
And, you know, I have a situation that where I was actually sitting in the hospital room Friday night, and it was around 3 in the morning or whatever, and I could see all these red and blue lights from all over. But I'm just thinking, oh, it's another ambulance or whatever passing by. I'm looking out the window, but I can't see nothing. It's dark, but I see the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Just reflecting all over. Then turn on the news that morning, bam, that's what it was. Wow.
That's what it was.
You know? Yeah. Now, here's something else you was telling me about the human trafficking.
Yes.
The sex trafficking. Let's touch on that, too. I'm going to just let you talk because I can't be at your event, but I want to promote it. Carlos, I see you on the line. If you want to get in, hit me at 319-527-6722. That's 319-527-6722. If you have a question or comment, I'll see you. Thank y'all for tuning in. I want you to touch on that. I'll just let you promote the event. So talk about all of the different things y'all working on, too.
So as I started to process that God wanted me to get back into domestic violence, and the difference between mine, Ezra, is a lot of the organizations are just organizations. Mine is a ministry. So we're looking at souls as well, right? And so mine kind of get a little deeper because I have to go into the spirit man to kind of deal with it. So in the process, God said, add sex trafficking to your title. Now, this is a 501c3, tax exempt. this is a organization way before the coronavirus, all of this stuff. And I'm like, God, what I want to get with sex trafficking for? Like, why do I want to add that to my business? That's not my line of work. But sex trafficking or sex abuse is something that a lot of us that dealt with domestic violence have dealt with. So you throw in the sexual abuse, and then you see that domestic violence and sex trafficking does have a lot in common. So when I added that sex trafficking on, and we really like to talk about the human sex trafficking, because there's not just females being sex trafficked. And people think that sex trafficking is the same definition as a prostitute, and it's not. Prostitution is when you prostitute yourself for money. Sex trafficking is when somebody, say for instance at a spa or a massage therapy place, have people coming in, and you may be doing acts of kindness, and you know what I'm talking about, with somebody you're giving a massage to. That's a form of sex trafficking, and that's in some ways how they bring them in. A lot of them are going in gangs. These young women are not realizing they're joining gangs just because of the love of money. And so it's running so rapid. The numbers have literally went up. A lot of people didn't know anything about sex trafficking. It wasn't that it wasn't going on. We just wasn't aware of it. And here in Houston, Texas, the southwest side where the A-Leaf area is known for the sex trafficking. That's where the event is going to be down the street from the location. Here out here on my side of town, where it's known that it's off of North Borough, so in Greens Road. So you just have to know where the hangout. So when God told me to put sex trafficking in there, my young cousin reached out to me on Facebook. And when she reached out to me on Facebook, I'm trying to figure out, you know, why she's reaching out to me. So me and my organization, we pray for him. You know, we ask him, can we pray for him? She's panicking. Prior to that, Ezra, God had already told me, he said, are you ready to die for this? And every time I would walk in my kitchen, I would hear that. So I'm telling my boys who pray with me, they like, Dr. Purvey, no, he's telling you to die from self. I'm like, no, I just keep hearing die. So when my niece called me, I have my board member on the phone, and we, you know, asked, can we pray with her? And so when my friend got off, when she got off, my cousin got off the phone, my friend said, wait a minute, I'm picking up sex trafficking. Asked her, has she been sex trafficked? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be disrespectful and ask her that. And I text her. I said, I text her. She called me right back, and she told me that's exactly what she was dealing with. She couldn't tell the family. To this day, the family is kind of like, what the heck was going on? So that night, I had a iffy feeling, and I kept saying something wrong. That next day, her sister called me and told me that they found her dead in her apartment. And so her death date is November the 20th of this year, will make 1 year. So I'm dealing with so much death that's around me, and which is very overwhelming being in this business. So this is something I'm trying to say, Ezra. It's not something that I chose to do. It's something that God purposed for me to do. And so through that, I'm able to carry out my little niece's name, and her sister is joining forces, you know, to keep her name alive. And so we're going to be releasing with sex trafficking. Their symbol is a heart that's blue, and it stands for a broken heart. You broke my heart as a human being. You trafficked over me. And so, yeah, that's a major topic that people are going to start hearing more and more about, because we just look at the females, but we don't look at the males, the transgenders, all this other stuff that, you know, people just homeless. A lot of them are being sex trafficked, and a lot of people don't realize this stuff is going on, or how to identify, how the people can just come up to you and hold a casual conversation. Oh, your hair is so pretty. Who do your nails? Can I exchange numbers with you? Just like that, and you being something you can't even get out of it.
You got kids that they have, like, I guess you could say a low self-esteem, very laid-back, subdued, quiet, and they prey on those people. They go, okay, they don't have a lot of friends. They don't have any friends. They loners. So I go up to them, and I befriend them, talk to them, and You know, hey, you know, you can always call and talk to me if you need something, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you want to go grab a bite to eat, blah, blah, blah. And just slowly bringing them into that spider web and then trying them. And we see them after they've been victimized, after they've been brainwashed and everything. And we want to look down as human, you know, flesh people. We want to look down on them. You don't know their story, what they went through.
That's
and a lot of things people hate to talk about is that abuse that got them to that point. Their family member, their popular uncle in the family that had the good job and everybody loved him because he drove a nice car, had the good job. He was the funny one in the family, kept everything jumping and lively. And he abusing your kid, and nobody want to say nothing because you don't want Big Mama mad at you because that's her favorite baby, and you're gonna expose him for what he's done. Now you keep quiet, but something wrong with child. You know, I've had to study this because I worked with kids in the past too, and there's something wrong. You know, and I hate to go there. I don't like to do it, but if you don't touch it, you got to touch it all.
Right.
In the church.
And that's what the word says. We perish for a lack of knowledge. And so many people like myself, I value education. One thing I always say, nobody can take away my knowledge. What I obtain, the knowledge, the wealth, the information, is so valuable. So a lot of times it's uninformed. People are so uninformed, and it's so simple just to sit and listen, be quiet and listen and observe it and study on this stuff. Study, show yourself approved. Because then it's like nobody can get you caught up because you understand what manipulation is. You understand what the different forms of control is. You understand how a massage in a spa, you thinking you're going to a massage in a spa and it's sex trafficking. Like you'll start recognizing the signs and you'll pick up on these spirits.
Exactly. You know, and I had a friend, still have a friend, and he had a brother. And we could, you know, everybody was like, okay, well, you know, folks just like that. You born like that, they say, whatever. But I feel like, you know, no, you're not born like that. That's
no,
something that happened.
They gave you a
gender. Something that happened. Exactly. When you came, when you come out, they say, it's a boy, it's a girl.
It's boy or girl.
Now, we being forced by society to where a doctor's going to have to bring them out of the womb and say, it's a straight boy, it's a gay boy, it's a straight girl, it's a gay girl. We see the girls, but this might be a trans baby. We falling into all this evil.
Yeah, so you do have
There's a difference.
Right. Right.
But
and,
we follow
and some of them
Israel.
You saying it right.
With
go
these
ahead.
Lawmakers. You know, we follow this evil with these lawmakers that want to create and put laws in place.
That's right.
Their little agendas and their things. And everybody got a right to live. Everybody got a right to live and be who you want to be. Because at the end of the day, I don't stand before you. You know, you stand before yourself. You give an account for yourself. That's something my mom instilled in me as a child. You stand for yourself.
You have
that
to
person
answer to God.
Don't worry about what they're doing. Exactly. So here we go with this, and that's why I said when you go into the church, I was a church musician my whole life almost and just been there.
Mm-hmm.
And you see things, and grown folk used to cover your eyes and cover your ears until you move, get away, and they hush, hush, whisper. And you see these things, and you like, okay, while Big Mama and them and their mission, a Bible study, choir rehearsal, and John running around out there, and next thing you know, you bragging. Deacon so-and-so, he getting $5 every time he see him at rehearsal.
Yep.
Now, this boy in the bed at night, and you whooping
so
him, but he's too scared to tell you why you waiting in the bed.
Right.
And what's going on with him. So now he's that loner, you know, that introvert or whatever. He turned into drugs or all that stuff. See, you got to catch it before it gets that deep into
that's
the pain.
Right. Get to the
and
room.
If it means exposing that high
you have
thinking,
to.
That highfalutin person at that church.
Jenny, our family,
because a lot of big,
all of
yeah, them. Big Mama used to say, shut up, you shouldn't have been out there.
Yeah.
Whatever, because I don't want, mm-hmm. I don't want people to,
I want
people to ostracize me, because I done called out the Jackson family or whoever. So, and I just said Jackson because I'm speaking. I don't know no Jackson. They've done nothing. But it starts then, and then if you ever get take time to meet that person and talk to that person, man, well, what
you'll happened
be like, to
what?
You? Well, and they'll say, man,
exactly.
If you really want to know, well, yeah,
exactly.
Man, when I was about 5, 6 years, my grandma used to take me to church all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, the dude, they used to, man, he used to touch me and stuff. But then he'd
right.
tell me if I say something, my
if
mama going to die, it's going to happen, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah.
Yep.
You know,
come on.
I finally told my granny, she told me, shut up. I ain't had nobody
shut
to
up.
Talk to.
Perfect.
That
yep,
little girl,
that's right.
same thing, that
that's
little
right.
girl, same thing. Now she used to,
yep.
this old man touching and molesting on her,
yep.
and now everybody want to talk about this little fast ass or whatever. She
yeah.
busts out crying
now,
in church. And you know, when they cry in church like that, they cry for help.
They cry
and the first
out,
thing
exactly.
folks say,
so
she pregnant,
is,
she pregnant, she pregnant. You don't even know her pain.
What happened is that when you look at it from the physical and the spiritual, that's
mm-hmm.
how I tell it in my book. So I can only tell my story the way I know it. When you open up a child or introduce them to things like that, that those things like that is not for a child, right? That's why they call them innocent. They don't know anything. God don't even hold them accountable at their young age because they don't know. And what you just
mm-hmm.
did, how I put it in my book, was now you've exposed me to another world. So I'm a child at 4 years old thinking like a child, but now I'm experiencing a woman's feeling. I have feelings like a woman. I have needs. I have desires. I have this lust now
mm-hmm.
that I need to be fulfilled. So basically what you're saying, but nobody's getting to the root. Nobody's stopping it as it's happening and telling you to be quiet, and you're kind of tame a lion, keeping that thing hush-hush for a year, and we're wondering why the world is like it is right now, because of all of these
exactly.
secrets, and that's why God is exposing. He's shining so much light on darkness, and that's why this world is where we're at right now, and you just have to call it what it is. I know everybody is not a minister. A lot of people have different faiths, but it is what it is. And you're gonna come a time where you're gonna be judged for your actions, for the things that you did, whatever you contribute to this world, positive and negative. That's
and if you
it.
Saw it and looked the other way, you just as guilty.
You just
because in
guilty.
The eyes of the law, if you drove the car and they said, "Just run me to the store right quick," and they run in there and rob that store, you going to jail with them when they catch you.
That's right.
So when you know. When you know, or you go tell, well, you know, I seen him take him in that little room.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
you didn't say
me.
Anything?
He just is guilty. That's an innocent
yep.
child. If you can't protect
right.
an innocent child, what is your purpose on this planet?
Right.
What is your purpose?
And
on
what
this
people
planet?
Don't know is as we are little kids, because it started with me as a little child, how as I became an adult and started having children, and I had to finally go see a psychiatrist. And I never forget this man talking to me, and I'm telling him my story. And I'm like, but I knew better. Now I'm 4 when it happened to me. And I'm like, I'm telling him my story. He's like, wait a minute, how old is your daughter? And I'm like, she's 4. He said, okay, if she came to you and told you somebody was touching her, whose fault would it be? Would it be her fault? And I said, no. He said, why wouldn't it be her fault? I said, because she don't know any better. He said, well, why you can't think of that for yourself? Because I would always say, I thought I knew better because you have the, you know, the person that's doing this telling you all this stuff. You're going to get in trouble. You tell your mom, you tell your dad, you're going to get in trouble. And so I didn't tell. I was afraid to tell because of those very things. And it messed me up growing up because those were now the secrets that I had to hold. And I'm not really, I'm kind of what they say, like that sharpshooter. I can't hold ice water. I got to release that
mm-hmm.
thing. And I'm glad I'm like that because I'm the one in the family that's going to expose stuff that a lot of people that's even older than myself are still dealing with or have taken to their grave.
Hey, you know what? Let me touch this right quick. And here's the thing. In that situation, because of me growing up in the church, and I hate to say it because some people, you give them church a black eye. No, I'm not. But we got to talk about this stuff now. Being in the beauty shop with my mama as a little boy, and then they say, go sit outside. And then, you know, there's some stuff being said. My mama started talking to me, but she wasn't saying certain things, but she makes you think. You know, make sure you stay away from that, this, that, and that. My daddy was just straight up. He out the corner with it, you know. If so-and-so pat you on your butt, you come tell me.
Right.
So I didn't have a fear of somebody telling me that they going to do something to kill my daddy.
Exactly.
Because I knew my daddy was a fool.
My mama too.
That wasn't supposed to live past his 18th birthday. So if he said, you tell me, and I'm going to take care of him, I'm going to tell my daddy. So what I did to my daughter when she was a baby, her second day, she hadn't even been on this planet 24 hours. And my daddy and mama and them were sitting in the hospital room. I put all that in her head then. When she got old enough to talk, if anybody, man, sit you in his lap. I try to pick you up and put you in his lap.
Mm-hmm.
You tell him. Put me down and tell my daddy he's going to kill you. And I never forget. Her mama came to me. You want to stop talking? I said, why? Because I was so embarrassed. We was at a family function. And my uncle saw me. She going to yell out, don't you put me on that. My daddy going to shoot you and kill you. Okay. She did her job.
She did her job.
She did her job. She embarrassed you because them your people. But
that's right.
Somebody in that group that's possibly, who knows, and later on they come out that, yeah. But, hey, that's my child. I brought her here so I can do that.
Right.
You know, and we gotta do that because, you know, I got a friend I should have, man, I didn't think about it. She brought her on. She told me the story about her uncle. Her mama's favorite. Well, it was her grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to lock them up in the room and molest them. And grandma figured it out, but wouldn't do nothing about it because that was her favorite. And they grew up, they grew up resenting her. They grew up damaged and hurt because of that. And I don't care, and I've seen it, I don't care how good the family reunion or the fish fry, whatever it is, before the day is over, there's a big fight. And not really because of what's going on right then. It's because of all the memories of that hurt. And somebody said the wrong thing that triggered something and started that fight. And I've seen it. That's why I can talk it, because I've seen it.
I know.
We got to do our part.
That's weird.
These kids didn't ask to come here. We brought them here.
Right, right.
So we got to protect them.
And, you know, the kids of this generation are more boastful. They talk about stuff. I'll be 51 on Christmas. My daughters, one is 25, one is 22. So the 25 kind of, God said, you're going to be a season. You're going to hear some things you don't want to hear. And you just need to sit and listen. And, like, you know, I like to talk. It's kind of hard for me to listen sometimes. And she literally had to tell me some things that I would have never, ever thought was going on. And it was like my mouth was dropped to the floor. And it was like some of the things that I tried to keep them from being exposed to, the enemy is always there. And if you know about the studies of it, most of your abusers are in the household. Most people that have molested somebody, they know them. It's not always the outside people, majority. So that means that
it's
I need to reveal
that, you know,
somebody. You're right. So that means I need to, somebody needs to have a voice. Somebody in that family, just like me, that little child that was so young, and everybody was like, oh, she just say anything come out of her mouth. Oh, she just talked about, and look at me now. God took that thing and was able to use it for my good and expose those, even from my childhood, because I was so innocent, the things that I would say. But nobody pulled me to the side and said, okay, I'm glad you, I called a witness for it. Instead of somebody sitting down talking to me, giving me some understanding to watch out for, they didn't do that. And so now you're dealing with an older woman and trying to figure out, oh, Lord, she, you know, she got some issues.
And here goes something else people don't. And here goes something else a lot of people don't realize. Every woman pretty much wants a husband. Okay, every woman pretty much wants a husband. A lot of guys want a wife, but some can live their life as a bachelor and do what they do. But most, the majority of women believe they were meant to have a husband. Here's something, and when I had my old show, we used to go deep on this, and I'm going to bring it up now. Some women would get mad, but the truth is the truth. Okay, this woman been abused in her life. Okay, now, nobody helped her. She been alone. And y'all can go get this book. It's called Pigs in the Parlor, and it talks about demons and that demons ain't what you see in Hollywood or the movies and the Michael Jackson Thriller. Demons are inner demons, fear and resentment, all kinds. Those are demons. Yes. Yeah. So she meets a guy, okay, where she can open up and say, I was abused by my uncle. I was abused by my aunt. I was touched by my grandfather, this, that, whatever, or my brother or whoever. Somebody real close to me that I looked up to and thought of them as a protector violated me. And if I tell this man this, he not going to want to marry me. So, but I got to do what I got to do to get him to marry me. So they get married. And all of a sudden, these issues come up. Then the man's no trust, no intimacy no more. And he just feel like, oh, she trapped me. Yeah, man, he out doing whatever. Or it could turn the other way, too, because it wasn't talked about. It wasn't talked about, and it wasn't touched on even before that. So she could get some healing and closure. And the same with guys. He don't want to tell, you know, if I tell this woman, my uncle touched me, my brother touched me, and my grandma, whoever, she going to think I'm gay. She going to think I'm gay.
Yeah.
No, I was violated, but I'm straight.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as a black community, I mean, I can't speak on others because I ain't there.
Yeah, but it runs back. Black.
It don't have no color. It don't have no color.
This is normal conversation for us. is a normal conversation for our community.
I got a Middle Eastern friend. She was trying to give her daughter a bath. Daughter was 5 years old. And she just kept screaming, wouldn't let her wash it or touch it in the tub. Turns out the husband did it. To where, we had to put her in a shelter. We had to move her into a shelter, gave her a hidden location, all that, to him because, you know, man, So I've dealt with this stuff. And I know, and I ain't just telling what I heard or read in the book. It's what I seen, you know. And if we don't start talking about it or reaching out to these people, hey, look, before you marry this guy, before you marry this girl, put that on the table.
Find out there.
Put that on the table
because
it's gone. Now what people got to stop doing is taking it and using it against other folks.
Right.
Now,
that's true, too.
He confide in you. She confide in you. When you get mad, don't throw that out.
Yeah.
Don't throw that
out.
That's true. That's not part of the healing.
If we have to be a place, we have to be in that place of healing as well, because that's how you can tell when somebody is really not healed from their own issues, because we throw it back on the other person. The very same thing.
Hurt other people.
Exactly. We learn how to hurt. That is like it's taught. It's taught to learn how to hurt and the aggressiveness. My daughter was talking to me today, and my friend heard her, and she's 22, And so my friend had to correct her in a positive way to say, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer or anything, but when you talk to your mother, it sounds very aggressive. And you know your mother is, she loves you, but she's your mother first. She's your friend. You've built a friendship with your mother, but she's still your mother. So when you talk to her, it sounds disrespectful to her, and she's telling you that. Because we notice my, you know how they start getting older? And my mm-hmm. friend was like, see, I'm 40-some years old. She said, and my mama still probably slapped me. She was trying to tell her. She was like, and your mama is trying not to be abusive towards you. Because I was like, girl, back in my day, I probably would have knocked her out. And my friend know that. And my friend was saying, but see how you've learned, how you've overcome things. You're giving her a warning to say, listen, I don't like the way you're talking to me. That's disrespectful. You have, you're passive aggressive. And she's so sweet when you see her. But the thing about it is behavior is controlled. We have a choice. It's chosen. She knows how to turn that anger on and off. If she's mad at me, it's yah, 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 yeah. But then when my husband says something, is she can talk nice. And I say, why do you talk nice to him? You don't say it the way she said, the way you said it to me. And she said, that's because he don't ask for much. And I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And my friend has to say, yes, but your mom is the one that's always giving you much. You're in a position you're in because of your mom's sacrifices. So you're going to talk to her like that? And before I got out the car, I made her tell me, I don't let people say you're sorry. I make them say, I apologize. So I told her, tell me you apologize. And she's like, I apologize. I say, no, hear from your heart. And she kept saying it. So then finally, she said it. I stayed at that car, and my back was hurting, Ezra. And I said, say it again. And she said, I'm sorry. I said, okay, and I went to my doctor's appointment. You have to teach them, and you have to teach people how to treat you. That's really what I want to say. I don't care
That's
who it is.
That's the number one thing. You got to, I don't care, like you say, I don't care who they are, how popular they are, how much you think you're in love with them. You make people treat you right. And I'm going to say this. Abuse ain't always physical.
Oh, no.
It ain't always physical. You know, and I've been in an abusive relationship on
right.
both sides of the coin. But
right.
a lot of times, it's physical. I mean, it's verbal.
Yep.
It's verbal and emotional.
Yep. Psychological. It's psychological.
Yeah.
You take that.
Nobody else wants you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
come on. Come on.
You ain't going to be nothing without
yep.
me. The people I know really never wouldn't even deal with you for 2 days.
Wouldn't even want to talk to you.
And if they plant that seed enough, you'll start falling for it and believe. Man, well, baby, No. If that
well,
person
said
can't
that,
see the good in you, get
me,
gone.
Someone said that about
yes.
me, Ezra. They said, you don't deserve my daddy. And I had to say, like, wait a minute, put the brakes on. What you just said? I don't deserve your dad. Wait a minute now. Do you know who I am? Because of me, your daddy have found favor. So don't get it twisted. I mean, I had to throw that in there.
No. You know that. Yeah. And I dated a chick that came to me. And, you know, yeah, I was, you know, feeling up everything. I thought, hey, everything clicking. We really got a lot in common as far as our likes and whatever. But then I started to know, oh, wait a minute. You got a mouth on you. And you telling me this, that, and other. And I'm used to this. And she made a comment. I lowered my standards to be in a relationship with you. Oh, you did?
Whoa.
Okay, it's time to go. Because from the time I met you, you know, you ain't paid the bill on time. You're behind on everything, you know. And I never forget when I threw this line, I thought it was just a classic line. I said, can I hang him? And before I could even tell her why, you gonna put some money in it? Car note too much. Okay. You know, and all that came
Whoa.
Back to me when she made that comment. And I'm like, okay,
yep.
you told me you was kidding. I went to wash your car one day just to be nice, and your stickers 3 years behind with y'all on social media, posting in these fine restaurants and this, that, and you're still three years behind. And what's the problem? Okay, no, so you lowered your standards. Okay, let's see. My stickers are on today. I make my money. I have a career. I do my thing. But I've never asked you for anything.
Come on.
Not even, you know, on the physical. But you steady asking me and
right.
said that. Okay, let me do that caravan and pull my inbounds on you real quick. You know. And I just had it in my head after going through what I go through years and years ago. No, I ain't ever gonna do that. I don't have no kids tied into you.
Nope.
You know, I don't have no mortgage tied into you. I don't have nothing tied into you. So if that's how you feel, deuces, you know, then you get that.
You're breaking the cycle.
You don't want to own up to this. Yeah, get out of that stuff. Don't let nobody make you or try to make you think you less than.
You less than.
We
that's
all
right.
are created with a great purpose in life. Whether we find it or not, some people try to hold you from your purpose because they
know that.
Once I realize my purpose, I can see my destiny.
Come on.
I don't need to be weight on me. I'm going to get rid of these folks. Yeah, so now let me hold them down because I'm going to have to go through this all over again with somebody else. They might not fall for it. Look like I got
right.
it. No, you get up out of there and you move on to your purpose. Everybody got a destiny. Everybody
You're
got a destiny.
My-
it's really your fault if you don't get there
right.
by allowing other folk to stop you.
That's
you
right.
Know? I'm quite sure Bill Gates' parents didn't tell him nothing positive about where he was headed. I'm sure Zuckerberg family didn't tell him nothing positive about where they were heading. Sometimes God just give you the gift and the know-it-all to where you don't have to rely on nobody else to get there. You just
right.
go. Take a leap of faith, step, and go.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to be easy at all. Never. Never going to be easy. Now, it might look easy to some folk, but it's hard to you. You're going to have them lean times. You're going to have them lean days. You're going to have them bad days.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. Keep, like you say,
joy.
Keep pressing toward tomorrow.
All joy.
Keep pressing
all
toward tomorrow. Now, exactly. Now, one more time, get in. Callers, I seen y'all. If you want to get in, all you do is just press the mic like I told you. You can come in, but thank y'all. I know a lot of y'all just like to hear me talk. I don't like to hear me talk. But once again, tell us the date, time, and location of the event. Those that can't make it, if you want to help, be a sponsor, participant, whatever. Give them all that info, too.
Okay. You can find the event is our second annual Divine Destiny Ministry and Crisis Center, second annual Butterfly and Balloon Release, which is going to be in person and virtual. That means that once we give the link, we're working on the link now. Once we put the link out on our Facebook page, which is Divine Destiny Ministry and Crisis Center, we're going to have the link so you can go purchase you some blue balloons and some purple balloons, whichever one that you've dealt with, somebody with sex trafficking or domestic violence or both. And at that time, we're going to release them, and we're going to play the music where you can be able to release them at your own home. And the location, if you want to come meet us there, is at 9894 Bensonette Street, which is on the southwest side of Houston, for those that don't know. Suite Unit 220, Houston, Texas, 7736. We'll be there. The event will start on October the 23rd at 3 p.m. Until we don't have an actual closing time. But if you don't want to, we are tax-exempt. Domestic Violence Center for Abused Domestic Violence Women and Sex Trafficking Women and Children. So we're a nonprofit organization. We don't do this for money. We don't do this for fame. This is a full ministry. We, you know, work with the community. You can also reach us at Divine, DivineDestiny, centers at gmail.com. You can hit my Cash App. Was that the dollar sign, P-R, URPOSED, or PayPal, Divine Destiny Ministry and Crisis Center. And just meet us there. Just do it. Everybody knows somebody that have been through a volatile situation. Abuse is just power and control. Somebody, you probably be the abuser in some situation. And we just want to acknowledge these people that have lost their loved ones. And we're working on, somebody reached out today, Ezra, so I had a lot of phone calls today because of the case that we're going through that I was telling you about. And so the phone started coming in. Yes, those calls started coming in for interviews all day long today. And so I got a connection to have the newscast be there. So we're working on that. And so we want this to be an event that we have every year. So y'all would know Marshita's house is why we got the proclamation on October the 17th. And we're celebrating my stepdaughter's death day as well. Her day in Houston is October the 17th. The event is October the 23rd. Y'all come out and enjoy or be on the virtual and have this event with us. And that these lives will move on, and it's, we looking at violence to stop, put an end to this violence. Thank you.
Exactly. I'm going to turn you on to somebody that can probably help, too, as far as getting some other people, some names involved. I'm already out the air. But it got good, and I wasn't even going to have you on the whole show. I wasn't going to have you on the whole show. But... we got to do something. Like I said, right now I'm kind of limited because when I say certain things, they tell me, well, you can't have this. But eventually I'm going to just have to roll on faith because I've been told it's going to be 5 years before. Man, who knows if I'm going to be here that long? Yeah. I hope to.
And see, I'm working with a lot of these personal cases right now that's in Houston, city of Houston. A lot of them I'm going to be honoring. I mean, their cases is so crazy. It is around the same time last year, which were like major cases from Pearland, one from Baytown, some in Houston. So there are a lot of people that were already in the news media. And so we're saluting them. And it's just by the grace of God that they got in contact with me or somebody that works in the organization introduced me to somebody. And I find it an honor, which, you know, to salute these families, to keep their names alive. And it's not to try to push, capitalize off of somebody that has passed away, because it's actually my anniversary for 21 years in ministry and as a survivor. But we just took it, to another level. So every year God may say, do this, salute and honor people that have passed on. I didn't know why he told me to do it this year that we were going to pass on. I didn't know that we were going to be acknowledging my stepdaughter's anniversary date this year because we had to lose another young lady, from the same murderer.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. But that's how it happened. That is exactly how it happened. And Ezra, when I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute. Her proclamation date was on the 17th of October. October 18th. 17th. Today is October the 18th, right. The other girl died October the 16th. So I was like, God did it full circle, brought it back around the same weekend that we would be doing it. Who knew? We didn't know this last year when we was doing it with Balloon Butterfly Release that a girl was going to die that week that was going to be attached to my daughter's name. Look how God did that thing.
Man.
So now when everybody been feeling, my husband and all them felt like he only served 12 years. And they kept telling them, he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. And he did it again. And it's like now they have him in custody, and that's basically what we want to say, that he's in custody right now. And because he was in South Carolina instead of North Carolina, the laws are different. So that means that he'll do more time served than North Carolina law. So when you're talking about the law, you learn so much going through these cases like this. You start learning how your, like you said, your legislation and all that stuff, who you're voting in, to being a representative, the judges and all this stuff. You have to look at, what are their penalties, And some people don't get justice. So
exactly.
Some of these start not resting. They're like, no, I'm going to speak through somebody. I'm going to get my name out. It's not done. I'm not gone. And that, to me, is kind of what my stepdaughter did. When my husband put that ring of hers on my finger, I think it was a spiritual connection right there. And it was like, woo. Yeah. So then this girl started working through me. And I'm saying it like that, Ezra, because I started doing things that she had sickle cell. So my husband used to be at the hospital with her all the time, you know, having blood transfusions. All of a sudden I get with him, now I have to have blood transfusions every year. So it's kind of like the patterns are so similar. It's ridiculous. And then the young lady that just passed, they kind of resemble. So I don't know if he have a certain taste or what it is. But the whole thing was is that one of them, when you were talking, one of the young ladies that we're going to be honoring, she hooked up to me. She connected with me as the domestic violence person, and I see that you're the stepmom of Marshita. And I just want to let y'all know the mindset of this man and what he said to me when he had me captive. And that's how we was able to connect, her and I, and literally push me forward, because this is a hard job. And I'm not going to say a job. Mm-hmm. It's a hard ministry. It's a hard place.
It's a hard mission.
Yes. And it's death. It's so much death around me. It's like, whoa. Nobody wants to be involved with death because it's overwhelming. But if God said this is my purpose, I'm walking in it. And I've seen when you're walking in your purpose, Ezra, so many doors start opening up. Those doors start opening up.
Yeah.
Like, even when I was saying financial, it was like when I started speaking the word, God said, I'm going to make provision. You just do the vision. You have not because you ask not. Then I started asking certain people, and people was like asking me, coming back, said, did you meet your quote? Did you meet what you needed? And I was like, whoa, look at the overflow of blessings coming in. And there were people that God had put on their heart, hey, why don't you go help a domestic violence center, a women's shelter? And here I am saying, do you know anybody that would help donate cakes or something such? And this person's like, oh, my God, look how God connects. And when I talked to the newscaster today, he was from Houston. So he lives in North Carolina now. And he told me, he said, divine connection. So he connected me with somebody from Channel 13, supposed to reach out to me, that you, I think the same person you had gave me. I know she's from Channel 13, and he was telling me, his name is Brandon Hamilton. So he used to work at Channel 13. He's been gone for five years in North Carolina. So he was like, wait a minute, I'm in touch with somebody in Houston, Texas. We're still like really, really close friends that work at Channel 13. And I was like, come on now. I was just looking up people at Channel 13.
Can we just say that last night?
Yes. And he did just what you told me. You said I never had to go looking for somebody. That's what they said they found me. They said we was looking at your Facebook, and we noticed that you were a family member to Marshita Darcy Karn. I was like, yes, I am. And it was like, okay, you ready for an interview? It was like, what? And so they...
And that's the crazy thing. That's the crazy thing, because, you know, the day all that happened, when the detective realized who I was, and I had to verify that. And there's stupid people out there.
I remember that. I remember you told me that.
Yeah, and I don't dwell on that. But I know when I proved to the police officers and the detectives who I was and who she was to me, he said, hey, I think that's media. Let me take you down here. And they took me down to the house. And because once daylight came, you know, they could get a good first look at me, and I was staying away from him. I didn't want to talk to him. But something happened, and his family came and just, you know, took everything, took some important things that were very important to us. And when I saw that, you know, I asked my niece, did I, if I talk to them? She said, go ahead. And I started talking to one, and the rest all ran up to me. And I thought it was over and done with. I spoke to the media with them, and some of them that ran up at the last minute, got information wrong, put it out. But, you know, they reached out to me and fixed it. But the killer was how they start just popping up on me at different places.
Yep.
Because they can find you on social media.
Yeah.
Don't think people don't know. You can have your private account. Folk can get
That's
in
what
there
I
and see out who you are, where you are, and they start just showing up wherever I was to interview. That's how I ended up with my dog. You know?
Wow.
So he just started protecting me because at any given time, somebody would walk up and go, you hear some? And I'm like, yeah. You know, now I'm thinking, you know, who are you rolling up on me like this? So, you know, I got to be able to take care of me, too. And the dog was going crazy. Wasn't my dog. He was just a stray at the park. And it was, I'm so-and-so from Channel 13. I'm so-and-so from Channel 11. So-and-so from Channel 2, 26. And they just started reaching out to me. I didn't call nobody. You know? And then
but
I just,
you know,
out of the blue.
The difference with my stepdaughter and the cases here is what I was driving earlier. My stepdaughter case is in North Carolina. We live in Houston, Texas. So who would have thought that they would reach out to us way out of Texas?
Exactly.
And they reached, I mean, earlier this morning, it was like I seen NC popping up on my phone. And I was like, uh-oh, here it goes. And I was, you know, they interviewing Ladira Karn, Dr. Purpose, da-da-da-da. We didn't went through your Facebook. Basically, we seen your information. We see you do Divine Destiny Ministry. We see your husband has FOMO. I mean, they were telling me everything, Pastor Michael Karn. Trust me, they do their research. They do their research, and literally it was like, and so both of them hit me up, told me what times it was going to be on. I was busy all day today. And so then I had to remember when you sent me the link. I was like, oh, shoot, that's right. I have this with Ezra. But I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I believe God does everything for a reason, the connection, you know, with your sister and all of this stuff. And it's my honor to honor her, to keep her name alive, you know, because some people, like they said, I'm going to need you after. You're going to forget about my sister, or you're going to forget about my daughter, or whoever the person is. Somebody needs to keep that name alive, and that's what I want to represent with Divine Destiny, just keeping people's memories alive. Next year, God may do something different, because last year was 2020 vision. This year, it's certification. So next year,
that's
he may
true.
Give me a different thing, but I know I'm going to always have this annual butterfly and balloon release, and so even when my name died, when I die in the physical, I know that my fam, I can leave this as a legacy that somebody else going to, you know, God was like, pass the baton. So somebody else is going to keep this organization running and going. And the thing about it is because I'm connected and my heart is so pure, a lot of my clients are, they would tell me how the system works for them. And they're like, Dr. Purpose, no, you the real thing. You have a heart for this thing. See, they are about money. It's all about money and power and who they know and all this stuff, who works for the precincts. And, you know, I didn't meet some major people, been on the phone with some major people. I'm like, what the heck? And I'm like, I'm just a good person. But it was like everybody kept saying, just wait. Like, God got something bigger for you. I'm like, but I would have never thought it was this. And when it happened and I felt it and I told my husband, I say, this 15 years, which our anniversary was 15 years. And I was like, something a little bit different about this year. I don't know what it is, but it's something different, and God's going to start bringing purposes together of why we're united, why we're together. You know, what is that common denominator? What is the factor for me and our marriage? You know what I'm saying? Like, some people, we're married and don't know what the reason why we're married to this person. And I'm one of the people And I started saying, okay, if we all have a purpose, then what is the purpose for our marriage? And then God showed me the common goal. Y'all both got your MBA. Y'all went to school. Y'all in the community. People know y'all like that. He has a FOMO because he lost his daughter, and you're connected because you dealt with domestic violence. And then it was like, boom, that's what y'all put those two together. And y'all are forced not to be reckoned with, because not only is it y'all name, but y'all actually went through it. And that's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear about the, you know, the experts. I'm an expert because I went through it and I got the knowledge, but I'm also an expert when people find out, like the WNACP and all them people, they consider me as an expert. But then when they hear my story, they like, oh my God, so you went through it. And that's what people want. They want people that have actually went through it. So if you see all these people that's doing domestic violence and have these organizations, a lot of them tell me, they like, I don't even know what domestic violence is. I've never been through domestic violence.
Exactly.
And it's
because
so
they're
getting all the money. They're getting all the funding, all of the, you know, money. And people like me.
That's like the drug ministries and stuff. They, you know, you got the people that step in and want to volunteer at the church. Or they started, but it's like you kind of have to know or really be involved with that to get in there, because you want to come to people on a biblical standpoint, whatever. When there's an addiction, whether it's drugs, sex, alcohol, whatever, you got to know how that person
how
is feeling.
How to talk to them, how to approach them,
what's going on with them and how to approach them. You can't just go to them and turn them off, because you turn them off.
That's why it's deeper,
you know?
And that's why I feel my background, like when I talk to people and people say, oh, I didn't know your husband was a police officer, previous police officer. I was like, like my husband, he was a police officer, like when, and he was on the drug force. So when I worked for CPS, I used to call him and tell him, look, they said this person have this, this and this and that, right? Because I'm not from the world. I didn't know, you know, in other words, I didn't know the streets. And I would just tell him, and he would say, okay, this is what you're going to see. They may have be scratching a lot, or they may be doing this or twitching. He started telling me what to look for. So I was like, whoa, okay. And it made my cases a little bit easier because I knew, okay, now I can call in and say we may have a custody because I see that this person is on drugs. I need to do an AU. So it kind of made it easy because when people, like he said, when you see him, you see Pastor Mike. But when you take all that off, you see the one that was from the street, the drug, used to be drug addict, all of those things that used to be, that makes me and him. So that's basically what it is. And it just takes that one opportunity, the one situation. It don't take God long, and it don't take it hard. When he's saying you put in all the work, too much is given, much is required, that stuff is so real. Because when you start being overloaded, it'll overtake you. And so I know with myself, I want to be in place because I'm dealing with death. I'm dealing with a lot of those cases. And that stuff, it overtook me the other day. It was like I had to talk to somebody and say, okay, what do I do with my feelings? How do I process my feelings? I talked to my husband. I have to, you know, he don't want to hear. He, you know, he's still hurt because this guy killed his daughter. So I had to even tell him, I said, but the Bible says, now that you've been healed, go help your brother. I said, now this man just got the news that his daughter died. I said, and he needs you to talk to him because he don't know what the heck to do. He may want to go kill somebody. You need to be talking to him as a man because he needs to know how to process his feelings right now. And I have so many. Another one is Don Payne. His daughter died last year. Me and Don get on the phone, and I met him because I put a post out on social media about Father's Day. And he was like, well, my Father's Day is not going to really be good because my daughter just died last year on the 25th of August from domestic violence. And when he told me the case, I was like, I know that case. That was in Pearland. I remember that case. And he was like, yeah, that was my daughter. And we became friends. And so when the trial began.
I think I met them at a function I went to. Yeah, where the boyfriend found out she was pregnant and shot her in the house. When I went to this domestic violence deal downtown, and they got up, him and the wife and the brother, they got up and spoke.
They're so sweet.
And I was walking from the restroom, and he came up and hugged me. And I was like, oh, man.
And it's something when you go through and you're able to be like, okay, I'm not in my feelings like that anymore, because now this other person, and especially during this coronavirus time, people are literally losing their mind. I mean, while I was trying to get my husband sent me the link, he said, I seen your interview earlier. Well, I was at the doctor, so I didn't get to see the interview. So he sent me the link, and the first thing I see on there, because you know they're going to give you like the hot topic stories first. And what I seen on the link, it was a little girl, 11 years old, committed suicide. 11 years old. Because of bullying in North Carolina.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck? It's so much going on in this world, Ezra. We just have to make sure we walk in right. And that's what I tell my kids, like, it's not a time to be playing or be without insurance, which is not having God, because we just don't know how things are going to end up. And to be out of the will of God is not a perfect place to be right now. It's not. It's not a perfect place.
Exactly. You got to, at this time, like you say, dealing with the pandemic, dealing with the fact that if you're vaccinated, you can still contract this thing and get out of here.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't serve you wisely to be going out of your way or just period to be mistreating folks. You need all,
right.
You know, like that game of Catch 22 and you give you them bonus chips. You need all the bonus chips you can get right now.
Yeah.
You know.
A lot of people
are talking on break. I tell people, I'm like, man, I'm a cat with 39 lives. I might have 17 left. I just say that. But, you know, hey, I want them all.
You've been through a lot, but your personality, everybody see the exterior. They don't know the inside, Ezra, and that's what I got to meet.
Yeah.
I got to meet the inside, and we had that conversation. It was like, kind of like how I tell my husband, like, you're a big old teddy bear. You can do woo-woo-woo all day long.
Yeah.
You're really a really soft teddy bear that has to be, taught how to be treated. Because you are an excellent person, and that means that I'm a good person, too. So don't discredit who I am. I may have some issues, but don't discredit who I am and who we are together. And I think when a lot of people start noticing who they are, and like you said, when a person, especially an abuser thinks like that. They know your weaknesses, and they know your strengths. And they try to tell you, as long as you don't know who you are, then they can overtake you. But once they tell you, because this happened with me, they would always tell my ex-husband, when she find herself, she going to be gone. When she finished her getting that degree, she going to be gone. I never knew why they would say that, because I was like, okay, no, this is my kid's father. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking of building a house, keeping it together. But now that I'm out of that thing, I'm like, man, I'm so glad God got me from out of that thing. And he knew my capabilities. He told me then, I see you being a doctor. And I was like, for real? She was like, yeah, like you that smart. So he knew that I was intellectual. He knew I had wisdom at 19 years old. So now to see me that we're, you know, we have children together, but we, you know, moved on. And now he see, like, he told me, he was like, man, the worst thing I did was leaving my family for another woman. And I'm like, okay, I understand that. But that was something he had to realize. It wasn't even worth it. It wasn't worth it. And then all of the confusion that goes on with the children trying to find their identity or trying to, you know, feel like rejection or somebody don't care for them. It's a lot. It's a lot that's entangled with the world. And that's why the world is crazy. And we have to keep unity and get an understanding to our younger generation, because they're very outspoken. They're outspoken and they're boisterous. And sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing, because my daughter, she does the Uber, and this is 25. She got signed with Rock Nation, and she was doing the Uber, and she honking her horn. And I'm like, girl, stop honking the horn. So all of a sudden, the guy starts, I guess he you know, like, F you, da-da-da, and she forgetting I'm on the phone, and she cussing the man out. And I said, see, these days you can't be doing that stuff. These people will get out and kill you.
Like, shoot you.
Yeah, and she has a gun. So
right. It's
like, I'm a kill. I got my gun, so, you know, I can kill anybody. And I'm like, girl, that's not how it is. Like, all of y'all have these guns now, and y'all just think it's okay just to go kill somebody. No, it's supposed to be for your protection.
It's
crazy.
And, you know, when you hit me that time, it's like, and I remember pretty much everything, all that. But at that time, I was so torn apart.
Really?
I was so torn apart. You got to realize, I've been on the phone with somebody.
Yeah.
All evening. And then what's going through my mind, my sister texts me to just throw something at me. And
right.
I'm gonna call her and we chop it up, talk, get a good laugh in. And I just text her back and say, okay, cool, whatever. And then call, and not knowing, I won't never hear her again. So that, you know, everything around that. And then I was dating a lady at the time, very immature, and I didn't know it was that bad. But when you tell me, you know, people calling me, hey,
right.
Hey, I'm checking on you. You all right? Because, you know, they knew what I had been going through physically.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Leading up to that. Then some people was, hey, I got your number from so-and-so. I just want to apologize on behalf of the police officers. That's not us. That don't represent. I was getting so many phone calls from everybody. And this chick said, I think you focusing more on your sister than me. Baby, I'm not cut out.
What?
Yeah,
what?
And I didn't even have it in me to be who I can be.
Right.
And say something to you that'll stay with you for the rest of your life. I couldn't even do it. Something stopped me from doing it. And just said, and I'm the type of person, whenever I say, you know, you say something to me crazy, and you just really, like, strike a nerve with me, I'll say point taken. And if I ever say point taken, you will never hear from me again in life. And when she said that, I said, point taken. And I hung up the phone.
And I never talked to her again.
Yeah, because when I say point taken, I'm really saying, I'm going off like Bernie Mac out there in Players Club at the end. That's really what I want to say when I'm just point taken, you know. And I hate sometimes that I take the high road because I really wish I didn't know the address. I really wish I didn't. But, you know, I was so broken from that, man. I was torn to pieces. And then in my head, I'm like, I actually was dealing with somebody that had that kind of spirit in them.
I remember you told me.
I think
you got real candid. When you and I met, you was very candid. You was very open behind when we got off the station, when we got outside. You just kind of like, just open up your heart, your spirit. But, you know, I didn't even think about the time period that I had you on the show.
Yeah.
I just, oh, it's October, domestic violence time. You know, would you come on the show? And what that does is it kind of gave
you
a...
Adam brought me, he put us together, Adam and Sharika. And
Adam is going to be my daughter's producer. So Adam, every time he see me, when he talks to me, he'll tell me, he's like, Dr. Purpose, I know you from somewhere. And I was like, he said, I was trying to put together where I know you from. And I was like, where you know me from? And he's like, at the some club downtown. In 2014, I was like, Adam, do you know where I was in 2014? He's like, okay, like, you could tell that story to somebody else, but in my mind, I remember you used to be at that club. He was like, and nothing wrong with it. I was like, Adam, in 2014, I had back problems. I couldn't move. I hadn't been to a club since 2005. And when he said that, he was like, no, I got it in my head. That's me. But Sharika is like my sister. So,
get with him because we, when I got divorced, because I was an entertainer, I was fighting for custody of my son. But, you know, if you're entertaining, you travel, do anything like that, they ain't going to give it to you. But, and the lawyer ain't going to tell you all that. So by the time the smoke was cleared, I was like, look, I can walk away from this for my son. But being an entertainer for so many years, hard to get in the workforce. And I finally found a job, and, man, I'm sitting in there, and out of the blue, here come this white guy walked in. Man, have you seen this guy? Oh, man, you got it. And I'm, shut up. And I got fired like 2 weeks later. So
wow.
I got to find another job because I didn't tell him. I told him I was a homemaker. You know, I lied because I've been on other interviews, and then it turns into, you know, I like this Dave Chappelle guy. This, this, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, well, we're not really kind of looking for you. I kind of think you're just hanging on to something better come. Yeah, all that kind of junk. So I just played it. Man, I was a homemaker all these years now. Kids grown, you know, out of school. I'll go to work. My son's still in school. And so I ended up getting in the car business. And I worked at a dealership and met Adam. He, man, you look familiar. Somewhere you look familiar. No, man, no, I don't. But we hit it off, and we used to do some crazy stuff.
What I mean by crazy stuff,
we would buck the system because, and I'm gonna talk about this on the show one day, is some car buying, you know, and the dealerships, how they, and like I said, right now, they're going through a purge because COVID is stopping cars from being imported over here, and them greedy managers that do all kinds of dirty tricks and got folk bringing in almost dead aunties and grandmas on oxygen machine. Know them kids ain't gonna give her a ride to the doctor, but they making her sign because she got good credit. Oh, he purging all that stuff. And me and Adam used to buck the system to the, they want the fires and but you know, man, we would like do things. We, you know, man, we bring our own customers in. We treat them a certain way, work the deals before they get there, and tell them, nah, this already done. This, oh yeah, and they be trying to get rid of us, man. They jig at Adam, jig at me, and they so evil till they couldn't even catch. Well, Adam be trying to explain to him, look at me, say one more thing, and I'm going to send you home. You're getting fired. He be trying to plead his case, and they'll say something to me, and I just look at him and say, when the enemy came to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell, and I turn around and walk out the office, and they, what the hell did he say? And you figure it out one day. You figure it out. And I used to tell him, man, hit them away they ain't looking for. And we got to be real tight. He would call me little bro, you know, big bro, and I call him little bro. And we used to tear they butts up and out. You know, they try to do this to us, do that. I'll go buy $20-$30 worth of lotto tickets and say, here, you got these, I got these. And go on Facebook. Anybody come in for a test drive, you can be a millionaire. I got tickets. They'll come in just for the ticket. Man, you got to outsmart your enemy. And the only way you can outsmart your enemy.
Adam is very smart. He is very. I'll be watching him. Yes. We would talk, like, you know, because what happened was, you know, I've been on Sharika's top. I'm trying to get on the TV show. So Sharika, you know, give me sis, this and this and that, because she'd been on my show previous. You know, we hit it off real good. And then her brother married to my cousin. So, Chica, and so they kind of like, you know, we look at each other like sisters. So when she's dating Adam comes on the show one time, and I let him promote. You know, I was letting everybody come for free. So he's promoting. And I don't think Sharika came that time. So it was Adam and another person that had came. So when Adam, I don't know how I knew Adam was doing, because I needed somebody to do my production thing, and Adam was charging like all this outrageous amount of money. And I was like, wait a minute, now, you talking about per person or all together? He was like, no, this is for one person. I was like, oh, come on, Adam. Like, are you kidding me? So then I told him about my
setup though before, right?
Yeah, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that he's honest. He's honest with me. Like, he don't have to play the game. He'd be like, Dr. Purvis, you know how much this costs? Because I'd be like, okay, I want it just what Sharika got. I want exactly how Sharika got it. I want it just like that. He'll be like, you know, I had it set up this way. So I told him my daughter was doing my music. So he told me about his, I think his brother. He was a manager for his brother and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I told him, I said, Bree just got signed to Roc Nation, and they doing her, you know, dirty, her manager, her producer. So Adam was like, okay, I think I sent him a song. Adam forgot all about me. Adam went straight to my baby's Instagram, listened to her music, and was like, who the heck is your daughter? It was like, bump you. I'm focusing on your daughter. Who is this girl right here that can blow? So then he was tagging his brother in my daughter's music. And I think she's right now kind of deciding, like, what she want to do. I keep trying to tell her, I was like, because her producer that she had, he was doing some inappropriate stuff. And because of the gift that she have, she opened the door for a lot of people. But Capitol Records wanted to sign her. And a lady told her, they said that your producer is giving you a bad deal. And, like, you could be a star right now. He was like, the lady was like, do you not know who you have? She said, and so I teach her that. I teach her, I said, Bree, they don't make money without you. You are the money maker. Know who you are. Like, she didn't been around all these, you know, because I'm not going to say I'm major, but I've been in the industry, in the gospel industry. Mm-hmm. So when I took it to Sean McLemore and, you know, people like that, they know my baby can sing. And they like, you can sing any genre you want to sing. So he go, Adam. And so Adam like, I know you. I know you from somewhere. And I'm like, where you know me from? And it was like, he told me about his ex-wife. He was married and all the weight he had. And I said, well, my daughter, she getting ready to have the surgery. And he said, well, I can help her with that too. He was like, and then I can have Sharika, you know, watch her so she won't feel like, because she was feeling like, I don't want to work with a man. I'm 25 now. I want to, you know, get express myself. I don't feel comfortable with a man. So she was going through that stage. She's still kind of going through that stage. And so Sharika was kind of more so like me. Like, I can trust Sharika. Like, Sharika, I know she got my back. And she was like, your baby is so beautiful. And, you know, let her know we got her. So right now we're kind of taking her back and forth to my, well, I am. So she don't have a producer, so she's just under Physical Rock Nation distribution for, she's in a 10-year contract. So anything she distributes, it's already going. And I'm telling her, so that's amazing that you got that deal. And I'm telling her, you just got to keep working. Because now she has they're putting her in a, I don't know what it's called. It's called something like the writers group or something. And they get together and write, because she can freestyle. She just freestyle. So I'll be telling her, I'm saying, Bree, they don't make money without you. They know you the bread. When you realize who you are, when you realize that you have the gift that fills their pocket, and Adam said, I have to know how to treat them. Like, she makes the money. I mean, she has a voice. So I have to know what my place is like. I have to take care of her. Because, you know, I'm not going to eat if she don't make no money. So I've been trying to talk her into it, because she wants to know, like, Adam's lifestyle, basically. Like, can he help her? Because she's like a, what you would call like a starving artist. She's like a beginner. So Adam was like, girl, if you come under me, like, Houston, it's no reason why Houston shouldn't know who you are, Bree. I mean, he's real with her, because he, you know, he's...
I hate know a lot of people in the industry.
Yes, and that's what I keep telling her. And my brother knew Slim Thug and all them, and she did a... Brianna went to, did an event in San Antonio, and Paul Wall was one of the people that was there. Now, my brother that passed away, you know, he knows Slim Thug and all them. I don't know them like that. So it's different. Those were my brother's friends. I'm not in that age group, you know, even though they came to the funeral. But they don't, because of how the industry is, my brother never really wanted her to get involved in that industry. So Slim brother would talk to me and say, like, no, let her get into the gospel. And I'm like, well, she don't want to do gospel. I want her to do gospel. She don't want to do gospel. So I feel that Adam would be the perfect fit for her when she's ready. So she's kind of like getting herself together. She lost like 40 pounds. She looks real good. I'm not going to lie. My baby, she just like came out. And when she came out and having that voice, when I listen to her, I tell everybody, I'm saying, if y'all get a taste of my baby voice, I'm going to send you some of her stuff. When you hear her voice, and because I have that voice all day long, I get to hear her music before it's even out. One of her songs, Chris Brown bought it. So we're just waiting on the song. I was like, Bree, why you didn't let, like, he should have listened to it and said, whoever this girl is singing on this track, I want her to sing on my song. Because my daughter named Bree Brown, Brianna Brown. I was like, that's kind of like your brother. He should have had you sing that song, because when I heard that song, I had to say, because she sounded like Summer Hill, Summer Walker. And I was like, when I'm getting my face made, I'm like, the lady who does my makeup, she'll play whatever she thinks you like, what type of music you like, but I like gospel. But she plays Summer Walker. So when she playing it, because Bree got music that's, you know, already on outlets, I don't know if it's her music or not because I don't really listen to her music. So I'm like, is that Brianna? You sure that's not Brianna? My daughter be like, Mama, no, that's not Brianna. I'm like, God, dog, she sounds just like Summer. So when she did go to Miami or L.A., when she got to, I think, Columbia Records, when they heard her music, to them it sounded like Summer Walker. So that means she needed a different type of style. They was looking for, like, something different. So I was telling her that's the industry. If you already have this flavor, they want something different. And I told her, I said, put all your cards on the table. Let them know you can sing in different languages. You can sing in Spanish. So you have that. That makes you kind of bilingual. Go to Miami, you kind of fit in with them.
And be personable. Be personable.
Yeah.
You know, be cordial, but don't be crazy. And
right.
Because what you're really looking at is just getting in the door, getting your feet wet, and then you want to move on and be independent to where everything
whatever she wants
falls back to you.
She's really an independent, and that's what Adam knows. Adam knows that she's already an independent, so she's really not under a label, but Roc Nation, she signed to the distribution company that distributes her music. So it just, like, it hits everywhere.
Yeah.
When I go on social media, a lot of times when I post stuff that has to do with her on my storyline, I put her name in the thing, and I look, she got like 6 or 7 songs on there, featured or songs she done. She didn't even know she had all them songs on there. I was like, Brianna, are you doing this song? So she's singing for the event Saturday. She's going to sing some of the piece of song, Lift Every Voice and Sing, off of there. So when Adam heard her, Adam was like, I got to meet this little girl, because she's 25, so look at the age. She's 25.
Yeah.
All these other people, they getting older. So she's like,
yeah,
at the right,
yeah,
age and the right season to come out, and then she's getting the, you know, her body together. She's lost about 40 pounds. So she's like she wore like a medium or something. So she didn't lost a lot of weight. So he, you know, told me, he was like, I went through the weight loss thing. I can help her with that too. And so she just took 3 months out for herself to try to get self together, and then she's like, I'm gonna hit up Adam. But she wants to make sure that she's not just giving Adam money and he can't give her what she wants, because that's how she was doing her other producer.
Nah,
he was old, dried up, been with the industry way with Yolanda Adams and all that. I mean, Whitney Houston and all them. So he was out there in Jersey, New Jersey, all that. So he had a name for himself, but he was dry. He was old. He couldn't really do anything. So when Brianna came, Brianna
came. He was old.
He was.
I got to tell you this. We're going to have to talk later. Because off the air live, we still tape it. So I got to shut it down.
It's all good
because this was great stuff. This is good stuff. And you know, I just got to shut it down so we can go ahead and try to get some editing done. It should be up before by 11 o'clock tonight. It should be up. And you can just click on the link
back
and
up.
Go back and listen to it. You can listen to it. But I want to thank
sure
you coming
can.
In. It's just all you got to do, you know, that link I showed you, that I sent
uh-huh.
you, there's
uh-huh.
a play button on
there. All you got to do is hit play.
Hit play and at least by 11 o'clock, and you can hear the whole episode again. Everything in
okay.
its entirety. I'm not sure if it'll go beyond the 1 hour broadcast, but it might. So, it was great. I was just going to bring in for about 10 minutes, but then my friend was like, no, let her talk. I was like, okay, cool. So, we just ran it, and it was meant to be. It was meant to be. So, that's how we did it.
Now I know Adam, so now I know how that mixed together, so I can call him back and let him know. You probably know me through Ezra. You don't know me like you think you know me.
Because he introduced me. They the ones got in touch with me, and you called me through them, because I didn't meet Sharika until I was in the hospital like 3 months, and her and Adam came to visit me one day, shot me, and right before she left, I'm in that 3 months and had 2 surgeries, a stroke, all this stuff. And so
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I went in for open heart surgery. 3 days after the first surgery, I had a stroke, fell face down on the float. And then a couple of weeks after that, they had to go back in. And, you know, like I said, I'm full of tough. And so Sharika said, "Do you dye your hair?" And I was like, "What?" And she's, because it had just grown out. And she's like, "You're how old and you don't have gray hair?" And I was like, yeah, everybody say that. I said, that's the last thing somebody in the hospital, you know, going through what I'm going through, worry about the color of their hair. And he was cracking up laughing. Yeah, but my hair just don't turn gray. I got a, you know, down on my chin, yeah, but not on my head. But that was something she was really paying attention to. And I was like, nah, I don't dye my hair. But let me go ahead and start getting this done so you can be up for everybody to listen to. And I thank you again. And I'll get
thank
that video
too.
Done before Thursday for sure.
Please, please, please. And I thank
will.
You again.
I
you
will.
All right.
All right. Take
bye-bye.
Care. All right. Bye-bye. Hey, y'all. That's our show for tonight. Thank y'all. Don't forget tomorrow night, I'm going to have Ronnie Coleman in the mix. And we're going to have some fun. See y'all later. Thank you. Live, love, and laugh. I'm out.